from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of the Morning Shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning, Shift. Triple in for Tiffany today and tomorrow. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart. Lasting clean. Braves dropped 2 out of 3. The Cardinals. Ozzy Albies broken wrist. Out 8 weeks. Max Fried. No structural damage on that forearm, but a little tingly, perhaps. So now, a little tingly.
Just thinking of that Dumb Dumber quote. It's more tingly than it is hot.
Josh Kendall, Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, laid out the 5 worst and best case scenarios for the Falcons this season. Of course, training camp starts on Wednesday. We're going to be up there with gavel to gavel coverage. But and one of his worst case scenarios, it really just hit me deep because I've lived through this so many times. When you have a game, the final game of the season, this year will be against Carolina, and there's nothing to play for. Imagine, it'll be like a wake inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, gentlemen.
I've been there for some of those myself, and they're never fun. You know, the only thing that's worse than that is when you're playing a game, well, that's close to it, and it's not the same, but when you're playing a game that doesn't matter, and then you decide to play starters in that game, and one of the biggest keys of the team gets hurt. And, you know, Abe came out. Oh, I think it was I think it was Abe. I read on a podcast wrote about that basically Tampa players were telling him they were told to come after you guys and bang y'all up for the playoffs in that game, that 2012 game. And Mike, I know you were a part of that team, so I don't know how much you remember that and what's true or not, and I'm not gonna put you in that spot, but when I heard that I go, well, that makes sense. That does make because I think
wouldn't you want to do that to the Saints, the Falcons fan? Or you have them limping in the playoffs because you just went out there and just beat them up?
I don't want beat them up in the right way. I wouldn't. Don't take cheap shots. But was Shiano a part
disagree,
of that team?
Man.
Then,
I
disagree,
man. I approach
cheap
shots.
I don't know. Here's what I will say, and I don't remember anything in particular. I'll be very clear about that. And he, you know, obviously he would know better than me at that time. But I will say that I don't think it would be unheard of to have that happen. Right, I mean, look, man, when you look at this division, I know it's not one of the more heralded divisions in the NFL, but there is a lot of animosity in this division. Do not doubt that for 1 minute. Specifically, I don't know if I've ever seen red. We've been on air a year and a half. I don't know that I've ever seen red more than I did last year when the Saints did the fake sneak and scored the touchdown at the end.
It's like,
I was beside myself. I was absolutely beside myself. And Arthur Smith was too, and God love him. You knew at that point that he's probably getting fired, which it is what it is. But I lost my mind. So I don't doubt for 1 minute that there is bad feelings around these teams. It's crazy to think of in the NFL because, and I've long held this belief, when you think of bad blood and you think of rivalries, In the NFL, it's a lot harder to kind of imagine, because in college, especially when I was in college, not so much now, like, you kind of were that person no matter what. Like, I was never going to be an Auburn guy. Right? I was an Alabama guy. I was never going to be an LSU guy. I was an Alabama guy. For the rest of my life, I'll be an Alabama guy. There are certain players in the NFL, and especially coaches, that's very easily to envision being part of both. And so it's kind of crazy when you look at rivalries and bad blood, you go, dude, you could be cut here and signed there within a matter of weeks.
Right.
Especially, a coaching staff. So it's always funny to me when there are, you know, moments like that. Just you're going, dude, you could be playing next to that guy anytime, at any time.
So clearly, we and the Saints hate each other. Who does Carolina hate? Does Carolina hate Tampa Bay? Who does Tampa Bay have a visceral hatred for? Does Carolina have a visceral hatred for?
I think us. I really do, because I think they see us as right down the road. And let's be real.
Charlotte wishes it could be Atlanta.
You took the words out of my mouth. Mm. They hate us because they ain't us, is what they say, right? And that is literally that's it. Charlotte, and I think, were you here the other day? I asked us. Pretty sure it was you and me. I said,
well, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was on a train of thought. That's actually the genesis of the animosity between New Orleans and Atlanta. New Orleans was this showcase place for culture and, of course, shipping and everything else. It was kind of the big city in the South, and Atlanta comes along and builds and builds and builds and builds, and New Orleans kind of became forgotten about as far as that goes, aside from the innate culture and everything else and the food. But
yeah,
Atlanta kind of took supremacy, Southern supremacy, away from New Orleans.
Well, Atlanta is what Charlotte and Birmingham think they are and want to be, and we are it. So I think it's Charlotte, probably. I mean,
underrated restaurant scene in Birmingham, by the way.
I agree with that. Of late, the last 10, 15 years, for sure.
Yep.
I will say this. I've had a number of friends that have lived in Charlotte, knew a couple guys that played for the Panthers. It always seemed to me that when you look at Charlotte, the way they view Atlanta is they are all the best things about Atlanta without the worst things. Like, I think that's what Charlotte views itself as.
Well, if they keep growing, they'll adapt all the worst things.
Exactly.
I mean, cities inevitably end up having.
First of all, it always blows my mind when anybody takes shots at other cities, because all cities have good parts. They have bad parts. They have scenes that they think are great. There's always like a hipster scene and a foodie scene.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? Like, there's always good and bad parts of a town. But I always got the feeling from people in Charlotte that they think that they have all the good parts of Atlanta without the bad parts of Atlanta. And that was just always the kind of outlook I had.
Yeah, you're still a nondescript, boring little wannabe city, Charlotte.
There's bad parts of everyone, but is it Uptown they call it?
Uptown Charlotte. Yeah,
Uptown Charlotte. I mean, I've been.
It's nice.
I enjoy walking around there.
Yeah, it's like their version of Buckhead, I guess you would say.
When we stay, but we stay outside of the downtown area, which is oddly enough called Uptown. To me, the best thing that Josh Kendall put on here in the worst case scenarios was the Steelers score 40. And
can you imagine?
They come in here week one and drop 40.
Can you imagine?
And there's 25,000 of their fans, and they're waving those horrible towels.
Well, imagine Arthur Smith on the sideline with Russell Wilson, and then they have a gadget style play that has Justin Fields in it, and he scores a touchdown.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow.
That helps them hit 40. That would abs and you lose.
That would ignite the fan base.
I would love to know the last time.
Start.
Maybe it happened here once. Y'all have to refresh my memory. When's the last time an Arthur Smith offense scored 40? Like, just period. Because I don't. Maybe it happened here one time.
Well, if you put three consecutive weeks together, they might have gotten to 40.
But I think you go. I think you would. I don't know that it ever happened in Atlanta. We always talk, the 30 points was always the plateau that we talked about last year. It was always like, man, this team can't score 30. You know, it just Arthur Smith's offenses and his teams are not built for that. But I think if you go to 40, I don't think it happened in Atlanta. You might have to go all the way back to Tennessee. And even then, I don't know, you know, what you're looking at as far as Arthur Smith offenses going forward.
So his first year was 2019 as the OC, right?
I think that's right. I think that's correct.
They scored 40 in Tennessee 1, 2,
pause,
3.
That's honestly, you're already more than I thought it was going to be.
Three,
and that's D. Henry in his prime.
Three times. They scored, and then in 2020, they scored it, I see, 2 times already.
Yeah.
3 times.
You're already way more than I thought it was going to be.
4 times.
Way more.
5 times. So they scored 5 times when he was in Tennessee, and they actually, that 20 Tennessee team,
they were good.
Yeah, and they averaged, they had to have averaged like 27, 28 points a game because they scored 30 three or four times.
Wow.
In fact, I'll get that number here in a second.
All right, we're bogging down in that. We get the thing, though. We've got over these best and worst case scenarios from Josh Kittles. Number one, Falcons start 2-1. Number two, Kirk Cousins, 4,500 yards. That'd be nice. The defensive stars shine. Bijan Robinson rushes for 1,300 yards. Falcons have a real home field advantage. The worst case scenarios, Steelers score 40. And I love the spin squid put on that. Imagine, and Justin Fields comes in and scores a touchdown on a gimmick play. That's all we would need, right? Loss to the Saints results in an 0-4 start. 0-4 start. Baker is good. Bryce is better. And Derek is okay. Losing at Minnesota and nothing to play for in Week 18. So there you go. Best and worst case scenarios.
They averaged 31 points in his final year as the OC in Tennessee.
There you go. There you go. Well, that's how you get a head coaching job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you do it. I know they didn't average 31 here at any point, so that's kind of a tough pill as well. I will say, of all these best-case scenarios, I'm a little bit upset with Josh Kendall that the Falcons start 2-1 is one of the best-case scenarios. Now, I know, look, I mean, granted, it's a very difficult first
week. Yeah, you got KC week three.
It is. But you're telling me the best-case scenario is that you start 2-1? Like, that's one of your best-case scenarios? I'm going to have to ask them about it, and we'll have him on at 8:20, so we'll talk to him about that. But that's one of your best-case scenarios, they start 2-1? I did love the real home field advantage. He said that's one of the best-case scenarios. The 474 winning percentage for the Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium is just that's just brutal. Just absolutely brutal. 474 winning percentage in Mercedes-Benz.
Well,
and you do look at some of the teams, the blue blood teams that will come here, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, I know you got Dallas, Seattle even, New York Giants. You're going to have some teams that will try to take over that environment. So hopefully they're not able to do that.
Yeah, I thought Arthur did a good job when he was here. I was one of the things he didn't get enough credit for was kind of taking that back and able to win some games. I think his last 2 years here, they won more games at home than they lost, and it really changed the way things were. But
5 years in, 5 years, Arthur Smith get another opportunity.
He's going to have to do one.
Depends on what he does, obviously.
Well, then, yeah, there, you answered your own question. It depends on what he does. If he works. I can tell you something. If he works wonders with Russell Wilson and turns him back into the guy, I'm not sure that Arthur Smith would have handpicked either quarterback he's going into the season with in Pittsburgh right now. And I know that you can say, well, he handpicked Mariota but remember the circumstance in some ways. When they screwed up the Deshaun Watson stuff with Matt, and Matt was gone, you really didn't have a choice. There wasn't a lot out there. You didn't like any of the quarterbacks that you were going to draft. Clearly.
What would Matt have been though? One more year here. Would it probably not necessarily as disastrous as it was with the Colts, but
no, it was. Well, Matt was always even at Matt at his elder age, which I think was overblown at some ways.
Well, if you could protect him, he beat you from the neck up.
That's it. So he, you know, if you could, who was going to be throwing to? You know, having Algier. I mean, if you could have put a running game around Matt like you did around Mariota in 2022, I think Matt could have won you a couple more games. I don't think you're 7-10. You might have been 9-8. Because think about it. You went 7-10 with Mariota and Desmond that year. So why couldn't you have won 9 games with Matt? And then you could have moved on if you wanted then. I don't think it would have been near as bad, but you had no option. I mean, Mariota wasn't his necessarily hand, like what he wanted. It was what he had to work with. And then now in 22, I guess you could say where they were picking, they couldn't have gotten up to a guy, but I don't know, maybe would you have moved up for a C.J. Stroud? Did they like C.J.? Well, if C.J. Stroud wouldn't have gone, what was it, 2?
Right.
Would they have tried to draft him? I don't know. I mean, that's hard to answer.
It is, because you look, and if Matt Ryan is around, you probably, those two wins take away draft capital that you would have had, right? Your draft slot's going to get even worse the better you are. So I don't really know the answer, man, but I will tell you this. I'm going to be sick to my stomach if that team rolls in here and puts up 40. I will say that.
It would just be awful.
I will be absolutely miserably sick to my stomach.
I'm doing Falcons flyover again this year, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, God,
it made for good radio when they lost, but I hated it.
Me and Goforth on the post game talking about Arthur Smith's team putting up 40. Oh my gosh. No, thank you. No, thank you.
All right, come here. We're going to go in the huddle. A head coach gives an impassioned defense of his quarterback because it's his quarterback. It's coming up next in the huddle. It's the morning shift. You are listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. We got Mike Johnson, we got Squid, we got Dylon, we got Day-Day, all threats to democracy.
Just a crazy group.
Yeah, especially Day-Day.
Yeah.
He's got that avuncular uncle vibe. He would rule with an iron fist if he were a dictator. All opposition swiftly dealt with. He would send him to the gallows with a menacing yet kind smile on his face.
It's official. I need to bring back One Word Wednesday. It's official.
Well, Day-Day is a big Game of Thrones fan, so he's learned everything from Cersei Lannister and company.
Is this the House of Dragons reference?
No, not that part, because Cersei Lannister is 150 years later.
Fanhood. As far as his fanhood.
Luckily, I'd be spared. I'd be Day-Day's press secretary. I'd be your press secretary, right?
I want my hand of the king.
He would. You know what? Day-Day would make a good politician. He would make a good politician.
He would just enrich himself. At the expense of his constituents.
I don't think
he would play the game and play it well and play it better than anybody else.
I don't think so. I don't think he likes talking about himself like most politicians do. Anyways, moving right along.
A good politician.
Well, moving right along, let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
I mentioned something about John Harbaugh's impassioned like speech on behalf of his quarterback, and you wanted to save that. What was it about this thing that you wanted to use for Mic'd Up?
Well, we're going
to
talk about it in Mic'd Up, and we're going to talk about what it looks like when you invest in the development of your players. Because I think a lot of people, and I've had this conversation with NFL fans of all kinds, but specifically Falcons fans, about about development, player development, which I think is something that a lot of fans don't look at. You look at, hey, we've drafted guys that didn't work out, or this guy was a bust, or that guy's a bum. But I think sometimes you have to look at the franchise overall and the head coach overall, and I think that's what we're going to do coming up with Mic'd Up. We're going to talk about John Harbaugh's words about Lamar Jackson.
How much pressure on him this year? You got Derrick Henry, historically pretty good offense last year that kind of tried to outsmart themselves in the playoffs, you could say.
Let me ask you this, though, and we'll talk about this a little bit on Mic'd Up, but let's talk about this part of it right now. Does John Harbaugh feel any pressure? You would have to be insanely dumb if you were the Ravens to let go of John Harbaugh at any point. He is one of the greatest coaches to me in the NFL.
Oh, I agree.
At least top three, right? And for you to think, well, it's gotten stale here, I don't think that's a thing for John Harbaugh. I wouldn't feel
any
pressure.
Has it gotten Mike Tomlin stale in Baltimore? No. Been a little bit better there in Baltimore.
No, yes. And he's, I think, also, you've seen a better brand of football with Lamar Jackson and the things he's done. Credit to John Harbaugh for that. So,
is John Harbaugh a better coach than Mike Tomlin?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean,
in my opinion, yeah.
He's got two Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the Flacco ones.
He had the Flacco one, and he had the he only won one, I guess, there.
Well, Brian Billick won the first
one. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he's got one Super Bowl. But he's never, I mean, I know that Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. And I think John did, but I just feel like they've been better for longer than the Steelers have been under Mike Tomlin.
More consistent.
Well, Big Ben retired. They haven't been the same since.
Oh, well, we've said that about other coaches, haven't we? That they were only a quarterback away from just being nothing. That's interesting. It's really shows you how important the position is. My point is that
that people are hypocrites too.
Yes. I think the only thing that could get John Harbaugh out of Baltimore is, now that you've paid Lamar, is if Lamar wanted John Harbaugh gone. And I don't think he will. I don't think that's how Lamar is. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if the quarterback became unhappy with the coach and the systems they're running, I think that could push Harbaugh out, because you're already locked in, you're invested in Lamar. But John Harbaugh has been an amazing coach for a no-name special teams coach, and the way most people saw him as fans when he was hired. Oh, is this a special teams coach? Remember, he came in the same time that Mike Smith came into Atlanta.
I have thoughts, but I will hold on to them for about 20 minutes, so we'll see.
Davante Adams, what's his obsession, preoccupation with Tom Brady? Well, here's an interesting thing he had to say about the retired greatest quarterback ever, arguably.
Tom know about how I feel about him, man. And the other part is, I think I'll be the first person that played with Tom and Aaron. So right. that'll be pretty cool. And
yeah.
I mean, he getting older, but I mean, he got to still be able to throw it better than, you know, half these dudes in the league.
He
can't
at this
point,
it.
You know, so.
He can't.
He wanted to say, then Jim, I mean, he's on with, Gardner.
I'm with Shannon Sharp, by the way.
Half these guys. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I was Davante Adams, I'd want a guy like Tom Brady throwing me the ball, too.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard rave reviews about the receiver special on Netflix. Have either of y'all checked that out yet? Because I've heard
it's
awesome. Day-Day, you've seen that?
Day-Day's on board with it.
Oh,
yes,
dude. I've heard it's absolutely incredible. I'm going to have to check that out, because I think he's on it, right, Davante Adams?
Yeah, he's on it.
So, what you like about it so much, Day-Day?
I really like George Kittle's, man. His personality is just fantastic. But, I mean, you're just really getting to see some really great storylines with these receivers. All of them dealt with injuries, and it's just amazing just to see kind of all of that stuff, man. Davante Adams, the whole Derek Carr situation is very, very telling. So check it out, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out for sure.
We knew that, of course, George Kittle's gonna be awesome. He's just a kook, He's just a quirky fellow, that guy. So training camp starting on a Wednesday, and of course, Josh Kendall laid out the five best and worst case scenarios for the Falcons, and the first was just hilarious, but also would just be absolutely devastating. Steelers come in here week one and drop 40 points, and what was your added wrinkle, Squid?
Yeah, they find a trick play. Arthur Smith finds a trick play to rub it in. They rub a little salt in the wound of Falcons fans. Like, oh, you remember I didn't want Justin Fields, and y'all did, and I'm going to use him in a trick play to drop the 40th point on y'all. That's exactly what Arthur Smith
would make me vomit.
Honestly, that's what I would do if I was Arthur Smith. But, I mean, because I'm petty, and, you know, I'm okay with it. But that would be the hit. And just on cue, Mr. Yo, who's a good follow, big fan of the station, loves us all, and a really good too. He tweets me a picture of Justin Fields in a Steelers uniform and how we don't want that smoke. And I have not hit send on the reply that I have kind of typed up. But I'm like, you know, apparently no one wants that smoke in the league because that's why he's a backup in Pittsburgh. But
how'd you resist rage tweeting like you always do?
You know, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf this season, and only rage tweet at people that I...
prove sensitive, Squid?
Well, no, just that people that I know deserve it, and Miss Yo don't deserve it, so...
Well, look, man, I agree with you that I think that's exactly what you do. I do have a question, though. If you're Arthur Smith, and you're looking back on last season, do you really have any animosity towards this organization? Or do you think that he looks back and goes... Man, we really stunk at the end of the year, and that was an ugly brand of football.
If he has any self-awareness, and I think he does.
Yeah. When you look at what happened in New Orleans, the loss in Chicago, the loss against Carolina like, you can't be like, okay, you got every opportunity.
You know the thing that always, and I liked Arthur, I had a good relationship, but the thing that I always would go back to my head is I would hear his press conferences and his interviews, and I would listen as many as I could. And because I'm at some of them anyways, and especially like when he'd go on Duke with Mike and Carl, and they would ask him a question, and instead of answering the question, they'd ask him a tough question or whatever, or a real question, and instead of answering it, he would say, well, you know, look, I always get upset with these guys who get all sensitive about they can't be asked these questions. Like, that's why you do this job. And he would go into a 30-second ramble. And then
answer the question.
Yeah, and then tell you that. But before he would answer, he'd be like, "But you guys got to know this ain't fantasy football. This ain't that." And then he'd be condescending on top of it. So he would admit that it's not an unfair question to answer, while then saying you're an idiot, and then never answering the question. And I always wrote back to that, and I go, "That is why the fan base soured so quickly on him when they didn't with other coaches." That you never had a winning season, even though I think 2 years he overachieved.
Well, we were so annoyed with the quarterback situation too. It's like, oh my god,
there was no he wasn't talking his way out of that. Like, at the end of the day, and we've had this conversation back and forth, Squid and I did last year, who was more to blame? Was the quarterback, was Arthur Smith? And my answer always was, you had two different guys that were top three draft picks that played quarterback for Arthur Smith, and you still could barely score over 30 points in it at any moment. So you know, that is what it is. I know we're kind of coming up against. I wanted to get some of these signings from around the NFL real quick and see if you guys had any thoughts. Texans signs Cam Akers. Anything there for you guys? I mean,
no.
It's cool for him. I don't think it's a big deal as far as the NFL goes. The Saints and Rashid Shaheed. Now, he's not a big deal as far as an offensive weapon at this point, but he was an all-pro last year in terms of being a returner. So he's electric. He's a good player.
He's had a couple of big games. He's put up some big numbers for them here and there. He's good for like two go-offs a year offensively. Yeah.
Well, will he thrive under the new kickoff rules?
He could.
I think he'll do better.
I wonder how the fantasy is going to do the kickoff stuff. We got to figure that out.
Because I think we have Rashid Shaheed on our fantasy roster, so we do need to check on that. And then Kenny Clark, give the big man some love. Nose tackle up there for Green Bay, a 3-year, $64 million extension. You just don't see those for nose guards that much. No. Man, gotta love it though. Little belly slap.
I want to see him pick up a fumble and run it back 60 yards. I love a big guy.
You just don't like. There's Vita Vea and like they're just the big fellas that just clog the middle. Are just they're going by way of the white buffalo, man. They're becoming extinct. Yeah,
which
to be
is
multiple.
Crazy. That's such an effective thing. They may not jump out to the fan base necessarily, but you know their impact.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The wide zone that we've seen from Arthur Smith and Kyle Shanahan, and that was built to really negate some of the things that those guys do. That's why, and I've mentioned this a number of times, Rob, we didn't have an A-gap run in this offense last year. Did not have one. Never saw a power play with a guard pulling around the center. It just didn't happen.
Because those big guys can't move laterally to cover all that space.
Right, and so that's why you'd put in the wide zone, right?
Mic'd make them up, what you got?
Well, look, we're going to talk about Braves on the other side for a little bit. I got to see if I got to check back with Squid and see if we're going to argue a little bit more over whether or not I could panic about this
blow
Braves
it up,
team.
It's over. That's
what was the word you used earlier? I can't remember the cut down he gave me, but Chicken Littles, that's what it was. Chicken
yeah,
noodles.
Y'all are skies falling people. Look, it's not you can be worried without being in a full-fledged panic.
All right. Well, and then when we get to mic'd up, we're going to talk about investment and development from your head coach and your franchise at the NFL level when we listen to John Harbaugh. That's coming up next. It'll be mic'd up. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for a Tiffany. We got Mike, and we have a very lethargic pile of goo who's emotionally and physically checked out in one squid billy.
I thought nation. Look, I was ready to come to blows again about the Braves, about the Chicken Little comment, because he just doesn't think anybody should be nervous about the Braves at this point.
It's not nervous. It's if you have concerns, legit. If you are... Oh, they can't beat anybody. They'll never do anything in the playoffs. They should sell the team. You know, there should be sellers at the deadline. Then I would hate to face any adversity with you in life if they are that person.
It's not in it. It's but you're looking at it from an emotional standpoint, whereas I think that there is.
I'm not looking at it from an emotional standpoint, and those people are. Because they're panickers, and what panic? Emotional people panic. I don't panic.
Okay, I think
you're getting emotional about their emotional.
It sounds pretty emotional.
Well, that's because I'm just so sick of the weakness. The weak.
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to look at it from a business standpoint. Of if you have three holes to fill, and you're saying, oh, we might need to go get a middle infielder. If Nacho Alvarez doesn't start hot, and we might need to get a starting pitcher, or we might need to get a corner outfielder. You get to the point where you go, is it good business with all these players that are underperforming this year to say we're going to trade, what, six prospects and some other stuff to go get to go fill all these holes? Is that good business?
But you're ignoring facts when you say that's what they're going to do. You're ignoring
the
fact.
What are we ignoring? Tell me.
Well, the fact is you – don't tell me that Alex Anthopoulos is going to trade six top-tier – the six of the top 10 – prospects in the organization this year to fill those holes.
Who said top 10? Well, who said that?
That's what you're going to need to get what people want, which is a quality starting pitcher, a quality outfield guy, and a second baseman. He never has. Even when they made the moves in 21, what did we give away in 21 that has come to fruition, has been a great Major League Baseball player? Nothing. Nothing. He gives away guys that are basically up, and their time is up, or they've given up. Or you go back and you look on the other side, and there are they have done a really good job of they're not going to go. They've never went and got a guy that was going to be a starter the next season. The only guy in the last few years trades that I remember having more time on his deal. Was Iglesias, and you gave up Jesse Chavez and I think another player, and I don't even remember the other player, and Jesse Chavez was back in Atlanta like 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I guess my point is, and we've talked about this on and off all show, my point is that if you don't think that this team has a legit shot in the playoffs, I don't think that's abandoning the ship. I think that's being realistic. That's why I call what you're looking at the positive side, which I respect. I think a lot of fans do respect that, but I don't think...
But you're already saying that they don't based on what they've done so far, which could change at any point. We've seen that. We saw an historic offense from last year from essentially April. I know they started like March 31st, whatever, but April until September, it was historic. And then in September and October, it was this offense we see now.
That's exactly right.
Know that they won't go on a
I hope this is somehow
again.
Latently or in the abstract... Basically, what we saw in 2021,
and I'm
you
not,
can get to 500 until August, and then you just go on a remarkable run and win the World Series. Is that possible this year with any acquisition? I hope so. I just don't see it.
Well, I think,
but I'm not. I don't think the sky is falling. I think, well, you just get them next year. You'll have a four-tool talent back in the lineup, and Ronald Acuña is no longer going to be five-tool with two ACLs. So,
I think it's a good point. I'm not saying it's going to be 21 either. I'm not saying that. But look, to say on July 22nd that you know, and I'm not saying you are, but I've seen others say, well, I know there'll not be a run some kind of deep postseason run, maybe even a World Series run. It's being very close-minded and just you're just I guess obtuse would be the best way to put it. But I'm not saying it will be. I'm just saying, look, there are concerns. But they're not going to be sellers at the deadline, and they're not going to hold pat. Right. They're going to make some moves. That's what good GMs do. The job that he has is to do what he's always done, which is find a guy that, or a player or two or three that can contribute during the stretch run without giving up the farm. Because I think the top tier players in this organization, as far as prospects go, are pitchers, and they're not giving them up because they lean on these guys during the season to come up and make these spot starts.
I think that the point I'm taking away, I don't believe they're going to be sellers at the deadline at all. I don't think that that's what's coming. But I will say, I think that a lot of people just looked at the injury news and said, well, Alex Anthopoulos got to go get a couple more pieces. If you were one or two pieces away, I think Alex Anthopoulos is like, oh, yeah, let me go jump out here on the open market, see what I can get, make the moves that we know he can make, and get a couple Band-Aids. I think when you add in the fact that maybe you're three or four pieces now away, it becomes a lot more difficult to all of a sudden give up this prospect here and that prospect there and another prospect going that way, take on these contracts and think, oh, let me just see if maybe the switch flips and Matt Olson and Austin Riley all of a sudden get hot. I just don't – well, you're it's not a realistic business proposition.
You're three pieces away.
Well, here's the deal. Max Fried's injury says nothing to he's done for the year. In fact, it says that it's just a little inflammation. We're going to give him 15 days off. And we'll, and the way it was talked about, he'll be fine. The Ozzie one's different, but they also expect to have Ozzie back. So you need someone to fill in. I think you still have Fried, Sell, Lopez, and some form of Morton, Anderson, Schwellenbach, and maybe Smith-Shawver to go in the postseason as starters. If you were to make a move to give up something big, though, Mike, you're going to get a starter back that's going to replace Max Fried or Morton next season.
Well, the search continues, like Bobby Boucher would say. Let's hit a mic, though.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
All right, so I want to talk about development. All right, so we talked about earlier a little bit about John Harbaugh, his standing as one of the best coaches in the NFL. I think he's a top three coach probably in the NFL, if not maybe top two. I'm trying to think where I'd put him. Probably, I mean, Andy Reid's A1. I think anybody would kind of make that argument at this point. I think there's other guys that have had more success recently that you would start making arguments for that, you know, the Sean McVays of the world, Kyle Shanahan's. I think those guys are right there. I think John Harbaugh, no matter who you ask, is probably a top five head coach in the NFL.
D'Amico Ryan's
ascending very quickly. Yes. See if he can sustain. Obviously, college teammate of mine, very big fan. All right, but this conversation pops up, and I know Bo and I have had this conversation a number of times about development for NFL teams. Because I think a lot of people have this notion in their head that you just simply draft guys and they're either good or they're bad and they show out in the NFL or they don't. But development is a big thing. Investing in your players is a big thing in the NFL. Believing in your players, drafting the guys to fit into a certain system or a certain style that you want to play. And I really loved John Harbaugh's words yesterday about Lamar Jackson and about the investment they have made into this player.
The Ravens, and we've always had a vision for Lamar Jackson. It started with Lamar's vision and his mom's vision when he said he was going to be a quarterback. He was going to be a quarterback in high school. He's going to be a quarterback in college. He's going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And we bought into that. We embraced it. We built an offense for it at 19. We're building another offense for it in 23 and 24 going forward, right? The next iteration of our offense around Lamar Jackson. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision.
Woo! I mean, okay. Tell me about investing and believing in your players. Not only that, but how about him talking about building an offense around Lamar Jackson?
Yeah,
because we look. I'm just as guilty of it. We talk about the quarterbacks from the 2021 draft, and you look at the situation some of these guys stepped into, and you think, well, that guy was a bust. That guy stunk. But you look at the and Mac Jones, a prime example, I think, in New England. We've talked about him a number of times. You also look at Zach Wilson up in New York.
Well, Mac
some of these
Jones
guys
got
never
broken.
Stood a chance, right? Some of these guys never stood a chance. Some of these guys were asked to be put into situations where they were never going to stand a chance, were never allowed to develop, were never allowed to be a quarterback in a system that actually benefited them or where they actually had the weapons they needed, and it didn't pan out. When John Harbaugh speaks on Lamar Jackson and the situation that they've put him in and the belief that they have in him as a player, That's why you're dealing with a guy that puts up the numbers that he does and a guy that John Harbaugh firmly believes will win a Super Bowl for that team.
I just love the fact that he was very honest about the fact that the 2019 and 20 and 21 teams are running completely different offense in a lot of ways than what Todd Monken ran last year.
Yep.
I think the cool thing that Lamar can hang his hat on is he won an MVP in both systems.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. It's refreshing, but it's also why we talk about, you know, I've had some people tell me so many times, teams don't like giving up on guys that they have invested in and trained to play and coached into their system.
Well, partially,
and their
they don't want to be look. They don't want to look like they were wrong.
I think
they will cling to it.
I think
at the expense of their job sometimes.
I think sometimes that is, though, a little bit overstated. I think it's very true with certain players.
Sure, there's nuance, but that's a prevailing thing that seems to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, but I also think we lean into that that mindset of it a little bit too much. And in reality, it's that is there a guy that I'm going to, when I get rid of this guy, I cut him, I'm going to replace him with maybe a guy off the street or maybe a new. Is that guy going to come in and immediately be better? Because as soon as I do give up on that guy, at this point in time, if these guys aren't working out, the clock is already running out on me too.
Yeah.
So is that the best move for not just me but the organization?
Yeah, I think it goes back to just the term development. And you and I have had this conversation. I always struggle with my fandom as a Falcon because I am a Falcons fan. I also used to play, and some of the guys that were labeled bust or not good or whatever – I get irritated with that sometimes with other Falcons fans because I'm like, dude, you don't have any idea what the circumstance was.
No.
And I always go back to this organization, and I think they've gotten better in a lot of these departments, but when's the last time you went in and had an offseason like Minnesota had this past year where Danielle Hunter's leaving and making $25 million a year and Kirk Cousins is leaving and making $45 million? Those guys were developed within that system, right? We don't ever have a situation in Atlanta where there's a mass exodus of players that have been developed and are going to other places to make money. It's just not something that happens here. So I loved it from John Harbaugh. I think it's awesome to see such an investment made in a guy like Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson has paid dividends in what John Harbaugh has put at his fingertips. So it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, he's what, the youngest two-time NFL MVP since the leagues merged together back in, 19?
I was going to say, who knows how many more he'll win if he continues to get that kind of investment from that franchise.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Who deserves a wake-up call? 404-726-0929. So get in the queue and vent your spleen. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the morning shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Welcome back to the morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany. We got Mike, and we have a very lethargic pile of goo who's emotionally and physically checked out. One squid billy.
I thought Nation. Look, I was ready to come to blows again about the Braves, about the Chicken Little comment, because he just doesn't think anybody should be nervous about the Braves at this point.
It's not nervous. It's if you have concerns, legit. If you are, they can't beat anybody. They'll never do anything in the playoffs. They should sell the team. There should be sellers at the deadline. Then I would hate to face any adversity with you in life. If they are that person,
it's not in it. It's but you're looking at it from an emotional standpoint. Whereas I think that there is.
I'm not looking at it from an emotional standpoint, and those people are because they're panickers. And what panic? Emotional people panic. I don't panic.
Okay, I think
you're getting emotional about their emotional.
It sounds pretty emotional.
Well, that's because I'm just so sick of the weakness. The weak.
Well, here's the thing.
The weak
I'm trying to look at it from a business standpoint of. If you have three holes to fill and you're saying, we might need to go get a middle infielder. If Nacho Alvarez doesn't start hot and we might need to get a starting pitcher or we might need to get a corner outfielder, you get to the point where you go, is it good business with all these players that are underperforming this year to say we're going to trade, six prospects and some other stuff to go fill all these holes? Is that good business?
But you're ignoring facts when you say that's what they're going to do. You're ignoring
what
the
are we
fact.
Ignoring? Tell me.
Well, the fact is you – don't tell me that Alex Anthopoulos is going to trade six top tier, the six of the top 10 prospects in the organization this year to fill those holes.
Who said top 10?
Well,
who said that?
That's what you're going to need to get what people want, which is a quality starting pitcher, a quality outfield guy and a second baseman. He's not. He never has. Even when they made the moves in 21, he didn't. What did we give away in 21 that has come to fruition? Has been a great Major League Baseball player. Nothing. Nothing. He gives away guys that are basically up, and their time is up, or they've given up. Or you go back and you look on the other side, and there are, you know, they have done a really good job of, they're not going to go, they've never went and got a guy that was going to be a starter the next season. The only guy in the last few years' trades that I remember having more time on his deal was Iglesias. And you gave up Jesse Chavez and I think another player, and I don't even remember the other player, and Jesse Chavez was back in Atlanta like 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I guess my point is, and we've talked about this on and off all show, my point is that if you don't think that this team has a legit shot in the playoffs, I don't think that's abandoning the ship. I think that's being realistic. That's why I call what you're looking at the positive side, which I respect. I think a lot of fans do respect that, but I don't think.
But you're already saying that they don't, based on what they've done so far, which could change at any point. We've seen that. We saw an historic offense from last year, from essentially April. I know they started like March 31st, but April until September, it was historic. And then in September and October, it was this offense we see now.
That's exactly right. We don't know
that they won't go on a
tear. I hope this is somehow latently or in the abstract, basically what we saw in 2021.
And I'm
you didn't get to 500 until August. And then you just go on a remarkable run and win the World Series. Is that possible this year with any acquisition? I hope so. I just don't see it.
Well, I think.
But I don't think the sky is falling. I think, well, you just get them next year. You'll have a four-tool talent back in the lineup in Ronald Acuna. He's no longer going to be five-tool with two ACLs. So.
I think it's a good point. I'm not saying it's going to be 21 either. I'm not saying that, but. Look, to say on July 22nd that you know, and I'm not saying you are, but I've seen others say, well, I know there'll not be a run, some kind of deep postseason run, maybe even a World Series run. It's being very close-minded and I guess obtuse would be the best way to put it. But I'm not saying it will be. I'm just saying, look, there are concerns, but they're not going to be sellers at the deadline, and they're not going to hold pat. Right. They're going to make some moves. That's what good GMs do. The job that he has is to do what he's always done, which is find a guy that, or a player or two or three that can contribute during the stretch run without giving up the farm. Because I think the top tier players in this organization, as far as prospects go, are pitchers, and they're not giving them up because they lean on these guys during the season to come up and make these spot starts.
I think that the point I'm taking away, I don't believe they're going to be sellers at the deadline at all. I don't think that that's what's coming. But I will say, I think that a lot of people just looked at the injury news and said, well, Alex Anthopoulos got to go get a couple more pieces. If you were one or two pieces away, I think Alex Anthopoulos is like, oh, yeah, let me go jump out here on the open market, see what I can get, make the moves that we know he can make, and get a couple Band-Aids. I think when you add in the fact that maybe you're three or four pieces now away, it becomes a lot more difficult to all of a sudden give up this prospect here and that prospect there and another prospect going that way, take on these contracts and think, oh, let me just see if maybe the switch flips and Matt Olson and Austin Riley all of a sudden get hot. I just don't –
well, you're
it's not
pieces.
A realistic
you're
business proposition.
You're three pieces away.
Well, here's the deal. Max Fried's injury says nothing to he's done for the year. In fact, it says that it's just a little inflammation. We're going to give him 15 days off. And we'll, and the way it was talked about, he'll be fine. The Ozzie one's different, but they also expect to have Ozzie back. So you need someone to fill in. I think you still have Fried, Sell, Lopez, and some form of Morton, Anderson, Schwellenbach, and maybe Smith-Shawver to go in the postseason as starters. If you were to make a move to give up something big, though, Mike, you're going to get a starter back that's going to replace Max Fried or Morton next season.
Well, the search continues, like Bobby Boucher would say. Let's hit a mic, though.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
All right, so I want to talk about development. All right, so we talked about earlier a little bit about John Harbaugh, his standing as one of the best coaches in the NFL. I think he's a top three coach probably in the NFL, if not maybe top two. I'm trying to think where I'd put him. probably, I mean, Andy Reid's A1. I think anybody would kind of make that argument at this point. I think there's other guys that have had more success recently that you would start making arguments for, that, you know, the Sean McVays of the world, you really, you know, Kyle Shanahan's. I think those guys are right there. I think John Harbaugh, no matter who you ask, is probably a top five head coach in the NFL.
D'Amico Ryan's heading
D'Amico Ryan's list. Ascending very quickly. Yes. See if he can sustain. Obviously, a college teammate of mine, very big fan. All right, but this conversation pops up, and I know Bo and I have had this conversation a number of times about development for NFL teams. Because I think a lot of people have this notion in their head that you just simply draft guys, and they're either good or they're bad, and they show out in the NFL or they don't. But development is a big thing. Investing in your players is a big thing in the NFL. Believing in your players, drafting the guys to fit into a certain system or a certain style that you want to play. And I really loved John Harbaugh's words yesterday about Lamar Jackson and about the investment they have made into this player.
The Ravens, and we've always had a vision for Lamar Jackson. It started with Lamar's vision and his mom's vision when he said he was going to be a quarterback. He was going to be a quarterback in high school. He's going to be a quarterback in college. He's going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And we bought into that. We embraced it. We built an offense for it at 19. We're building another offense for it in 23 and 24 going forward, right? The next iteration of our offense around Lamar Jackson. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision.
Woo!
I mean,
okay.
Tell me about investing and believing in your players. Not only that, but how about him talking about building an offense around Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Because look, I'm just as guilty of it. We talk about the quarterbacks from the 2021 draft. And you look at the situation some of these guys stepped into and you think, well, that guy was a bust. That guy stunk. But you look at and Mac Jones, a prime example, I think, in New England. We've talked about him a number of times. You also look at Zach Wilson up in New York.
Well, Mac
Jones, some of these
guys
never stood a chance. Right? Some of these guys never stood a chance. Some of these guys were asked to be put into situations where they were never going to stand a chance, were never allowed to develop, were never allowed to be a quarterback in a system that actually benefited them or where they actually had the weapons they needed, and it didn't pan out. When John Harbaugh speaks on Lamar Jackson and the situation that they've put him in and the belief that they have in him as a player, that's why you're dealing with a guy that puts up the numbers that he does and a guy that John Harbaugh firmly believes will win a Super Bowl for that team.
I just love the fact that he was very honest about the fact that the 2019 and 20 and 21 teams are running completely different offense in a lot of ways than what Todd Monken ran last year.
Yep.
I think the cool thing that Lamar can hang his hat on is he won an MVP in both systems.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. It's refreshing, but it's also why we talk about, you know, I've had some people tell me so many times, teams don't like giving up on guys that they have invested in and trained to play and coached into their system.
Well, partially,
and their
they don't want to be they don't want to look like they were wrong.
I think
they will cling to it.
I think
at the expense of their job sometimes.
I think sometimes that is, though, a little bit overstated. I think it's very true with certain players.
I'm sure there's nuance, but that's a prevailing thing that seems to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, but I also think we lean into that that mindset of it a little bit too much. And in reality, it's that, is this guy, is a guy that I'm going to, when I get rid of this guy, I cut him, I'm going to replace him with maybe a guy off the street or maybe a new. Is that guy going to come in and immediately be better? Because as soon as I do give up on that guy, at this point in time, if these guys aren't working out, the clock is already running out on me too.
Yeah.
So is that the best move for not just me, but the organization?
Yeah, I think it goes back to just the term development. And you and I have had this conversation. I always struggle with my fandom as a Falcon because I am a Falcons fan. I also used to play, and some of the guys that were labeled bust or, you know, not good or whatever, I get irritated with that sometimes with other Falcons fans because I'm like, dude, you know, you don't have any idea what the circumstance was.
Yep.
And I always go back to this organization, and I think they've gotten better in a lot of these departments, but when's the last time you went in and had an offseason like Minnesota had this past year where Danielle Hunter's leaving and making $25 million a year and Kirk Cousins is leaving and making $45 million? Those guys were developed within that system, right? We don't ever have a situation in Atlanta where there's a mass exodus of players that have been developed and are going to other places to make money. It's just not something that happens here. So I loved it from John Harbaugh. I think it's awesome to see such an investment made in a guy like Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson has paid dividends and what John Harbaugh has put at his fingertips. So it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, he's what, the youngest two-time NFL MVP since the leagues merged together back in, what, 19?
I was going to say, who knows how many more he'll win if he continues to get that kind of investment from that franchise.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Who deserves a wake-up call? 404-726-0929. So get in the queue and vent your spleen. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.